intro.
Oh my God. Oh my God. What's happening? Yes, that's correct. Effie survived WrestleMania in Philadelphia. And boy, do we have some stories to tell you. All sorts of stories. Have you ever hit a wall? Have you ever felt an earthquake? Have you ever clusterfucked? Have you ever gay brunched? Have you ever made progress? Have you ever blood sported? Maybe, well, I don't know. That sounds dangerous. Either way, buckle up and tune in. We're taking you through all the highs and lows of WrestleMania week, and we're getting you ready for the marvelous future that comes with being surviving WrestleMania, because I did survive it. WeekendAtEffies.com. Let go of the shark. Let go of the shark. She's grabbing a shark.
Come here, baby.
And so when I was talking to John Goodman, he said that this episode that we're doing now is sort of like, it's our Megalopolis, where like, clearly we have the back catalog. People know what's up, but the material and the flesh of this episode is going to be too much for most studios to handle. And I kind of agree with him, because it's going to get weird. It's going to get strange. Petar, are you?
I'm locked in.
You're locked in?
Locked in.
We're going to be honest here. We're going to be raw, and we're going to be maniacs, because this is the WrestleMania episode, the post-WrestleMania episode. I survived WrestleMania Effie episode. And if you're on our Patreon, weekendateffies.com, you will know already that many secrets have been shared. There's deep honesty there. And I'm going to be deeply honest here about how my week went, and about how the earth was giving me signs. I was locked into the earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe.
So I don't know how to start this. I guess I start at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. I might sneeze. Hold on. Maybe I won't sneeze. I might sneeze. I feel it there. It sneezes there. Do you think I can power through it? It's Jesus coming.
Is it?
Oh. Okay, maybe I'm fine. No sneezing, only action. This is Weekend at Effie's, starring Petar.
Hello.
Shark Bob. And if she comes back here in due time, Lucifer. Lucifer will be here as well. If you're on the video, hello. One day we're going to put these for the rest of the world. But can I be?
Let's just do it next week.
We'll do it next week. But I was about to say something. Can I be honest? I don't give a fuck. Okay. Because I support our Patreon listeners. And I want to say, first and foremost, actually, did I come home after the eclipse and shave my whole face?
Yes.
Yes. And second, sometimes I do this and I'm very confused, because I'll shave my whole face and I haven't taken a straight razor to my face since I graduated college.
Oh, shit.
I won't do it. I will just...
Yeah.
And here's the thing, guys. In 2 weeks, it will be back. It had just gotten so long that when I would take bites of stuff, I would bite my mustache. And that's too long. And with me having long hair, which I've pulled up into a tidy little bun with what's left of it, with what has not been ripped out of my skull or shattered with staples... I feel very clean cut right now. But if you saw me last week, I was a nomad. I was the star of Nomadland. Frances McDormand and Effie starring in Nomadland. Oscar award winners. I looked crazy. I felt crazy, and I embraced it. Because there's no other way to make it through WrestleMania week than to embrace pure wild psychosis. And I did it. And now, as we speak here, for our early listeners, we have two movies set up. One you've already seen. Tomorrow, we go with our good friend Luis to see Monkey Man. And tonight, just because in the middle of the minisode, I noticed there's an early screening, we're going to go see Civil War tonight.
Yes.
And we're nervous.
I'm nervous.
I'm very nervous.
I'm very nervous.
I might get snacks, but I know I'm going to panic eat them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we went to see Godzilla Kong, I not only got my free... chocolate raisins, but I also got the Parmesan pretzel bites, which I think are a premium food item.
There's the one guy at the theater who I've now had enough interactions with that it's the last time, one of the times we were there recently, him and another employee were talking about, like, can we get away with taking some of the promotional items? And I pointed out, if it's not someone's job to watch the cameras, you're probably good. Like, if you don't know who watches
the camera guy.
Who's the camera guy? If you can't answer that, you're probably safe. And the last time I was in there, I, like, got my snacks and I was like, this counts, like, if I were to scan my thing, this would count for points for the next time. And he looked at me with just the utmost nervousness that I was about. I was like, no, I don't care. Like, you're good. You're fine. Like, we're not about to have a Karen moment or anything.
He thought he was about to have to deal with you on the points moment. Yeah. Did you get your points? Did you get your fucking points? No? Disgusting. I got my points. And you know
tonight, I'm going to get my points.
Get your points.
I'm going to get my points.
They have... I just want to say the Diet Dr. Pepper's been out for a while, and I still try every time.
I've been an icy boy lately.
I love that, though. I love that you know what you want, and it's, what's his name? Splugy? What's the guy from Ghostbusters? Squirt?
Cum
boy. What is?
Podcast.
Slimer.
Podcast. Oh, Slimer.
Podcast, yeah. Who has a video vlog. They couldn't call him video vlog. You got the Slimer. It wasn't good, but last time you just got the Coca-Cola one.
Yeah, I'll do that again.
Delicious.
Yeah, delicious.
Perfect. A perfect beverage, honestly. And really, the more it melts, better it gets. I don't know.
This is true.
You know, it's a little icy at first. Icy. Okay, either way. All right. I can't. This is going to be a long episode either way.
Fucking icy commercial over here.
If you want something that's a little icy, you better try icy. Only at AMC. AMC Stubbs Rewards. Okay, actually, before we get into this, they massacred my girl.
Oh, my God.
That's disgusting.
Look, this is embarrassing to admit. I will admit it, though. I tear up every single time that I go to the movies.
Yeah.
And it is, I am so easily emotionally manipulated.
Yeah.
That I just give my whole heart to Nicole. And
she
every
does
single
that full
time
monologue.
I get a little choked up. You know, there's a couple of tears coming down. And instead, I am just physically angry, and I want to throw stuff at the screen.
Yeah, because they cut
it
all down.
So fucking.
And they
upset.
Put Austin Butler in
and
there.
And they go, "Oh, here's Elvis and Avatar. That'll appease
you." Yeah, and
you
haven't seen Way of the Water, so you don't even know
what
that scene's significance
is. You said
is.
You were shooting more commercials.
Yeah, they said they were
where
shooting
the
three new
commercials. You can't.
It's just cut downs. Cut
I haven't
downs.
Even seen any other. I've only seen Elvis and Avatar.
I haven't
are there
seen
other
any
versions?
Other ones. I know. I was lied to.
Is it segmented by region? Like,
yeah,
what are we
know.
Doing?
It's disgusting. I haven't been to another
what
region recently.
What is this country coming to?
And, Nicole, how did you agree to this? Okay, there's a whole subset of us. You remember when we went to see Barbenheimer and we seen the guys had the shirts?
Yeah.
And it said our hero, something about our heroes because here they are or something. And I said, I need that fucking shirt. And just because there's a little
I
more
want
intimacy
the shirt that says something about heroes because here they are.
Yeah. Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. And I saw the pins online of her standing in front of the fucking projector where you can't see the movie.
Did you see the purse line that is the suit?
What?
There's a line of purses that's
real?
It's her suit.
Every movie I go see with AJ and I just like I don't want to put this intimacy on you. In a way that I put on him, I squeeze his arm and I go, because here they are at the same time as her. Now I can't do it.
I'm really glad that you.
Yeah, I squeeze his arm and I pull him in and I go, because here they are. And it's gone. So Nicole Kidman, answer for your crime.
You took your hat off and put it over your heart during Barbie.
Did I do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The best thing you did during that screening, though, is you clapped your feet at the people in front of us.
Because they were being loud. So I smacked my slides together and I went right by their ears. Dirty old foot slap. Did it work?
Yeah. And then when we saw Mission Impossible, the old lady next to me gets on her phone. And you know, normally I loved it. I'd be like, hey, can you not be on your phone? I was like, you're going to have to not do that.
Yeah. I don't want to admit when I get fucking hard around my friends, but you going, yeah, you're going to have to not be on your phone during this. And it's our third film of the day. And we're just like Roger and Ebert, just full on. It was just like, whoop. So welcome to Weekend at Effie's. We're done complaining about movies. Let her have it. I don't, she's needs something. Wednesday, I started my day in West Philadelphia, born and raised. At the National Enterprise Car Center is where I spend most of my days picking out a car. Now, I want to say this, and I don't want to forget stuff, and I want to go through this politely. I felt really famous all week. Everywhere I went, people knew who I was. People said, hey, Effie. People wanted to take pictures with me. But I started my week realizing how blessed I am to not be that famous. And I got on the plane, and I saw one of my favorite wrestlers, Cody Rhodes. His wife and his daughter were in first class. And right in Comfort Plus with me was one of the newest signees to WWE, Jade Cargill, who I've often seen her at the airport. And she's someone where, like, they have in wrestling a rule called the airport test, which you can kind of guess what it is. If someone sees you in the airport, could they tell that you're a superstar, right? With me, you can never tell because I either look like just a filthy, dirty freak or I'm hiding. I don't want to pass the airport test. There are moments where I want all the attention, and there are moments where I want no attention. Even on the way home, I saw someone who I knew pretty well who works with Delta, and they said, I had to double take. I didn't realize it was you. You were just kind of hiding over here, and I was like, that's the fucking boy, and I'm surprised you even recognize. So I see them on the plane, and, you know, just brief, cordial hellos, right? And then we get off the plane, and we're heading towards baggage. And I stopped and I got a coffee because I didn't want to, you know, and they kind of took their time. And right when we got out of the like emergency door where people can be, they were both harassed by the fans with pictures that they wanted them to sign and taking pictures of them, like mobbed. And I was like, number one, poor Brandy. She's with her baby. Like, this is a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, please leave this woman alone. Her husband's about to be the WWE champion. He's finishing the story. Like, let her just get to the hotel. And then Jade, who just looks stunning in airport wear, just like her boots had like mirror balls on. I don't know. It was every, like, she was perfect. And they are harassing this woman to sign 100 things. And these are all resellers. These aren't like,
yeah.
It's not like little Tiffany came to make her dreams come true to meet Jade at the airport. It's like, no, oh, will you sign this for me? No. And that's like, I saw one of the wrestlers, Mia Yim. She had posted about like, give people their space this week, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, none of the people that you're sending this to can actually read, nor will they. This is only getting to people who agree with you and would never disrespect people like that. So, yes, I watched them both get harassed, and I thought to myself, thank God I'm just a lowly indie loser. I got my bags, and I got on the national train, and who was there but Jade Cargill? And it was lovely because in one aspect, I was a little more famous than Jade because I did get off at the Executive Elite Platinum area. Because I have rented so many fucking cars that my dirty ass could just get off and take whatever elite executive car I want. And what did I do? I took a Ford Edge because the screen was extra big. I can have all these luxury vehicles. They're all at my disposal. No, I took a Ford Edge. Now, I didn't have to be anywhere for a little while. So I stopped by. I actually went to see my good friend David Pupamagoo. Before I headed to the H2O Center for my first booking, we hung out a little bit. We complained, but they had to go set up all the merch at the building. I just wanted to say hello. It was on my way. Traffic was horrible. It was pouring rain. I love it. I love all these people coming into town, and the weather's just kind of the worst. And you're like, I don't care. I don't care. Let the rain fall down. I got out to the H2O Center, and I was in a fucking mood, Peter. And I'm just going to be honest, the next couple days, I was in a fucking mood, and I don't know what it was. And part of it was I knew it was ahead of me. Like, no matter what I do, no matter how accomplished I'm feeling, there's so much work I'm going to have to do this week. Like, there's no getting around it. There's no shortcut. There's so much shit to do. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do my best here. I showed up to the building. I met with everyone. And this is like, I really am trying to be polite here. This is one of my least favorite places to wrestle. I love Matt Tremont. This is his building. It's where he runs. He was running shows there all week. I was once there 3 days in a row by accident. I almost retired from wrestling because it's just literally like a strip mall, like warehouse unit. And it's very hot, but also very cold and very weather acclimate. And I came in and I was polite and I was good. And this is once again, me in a I'm in a mood. I get it. And I said, hey, Marcus, who's my opponent for the night at the Intergender Bonanza, hosted by Stan Styles, the cream master for Cream Mania. I said, hey, Marcus, not doing well. I'm going to need you to come get in my car when it's time to put this together. He was like, no problem. And I was like, just whenever you want. And he's like, do I have time to go sell merch? And I was like, yes. Here's how much of a mood I was in. I did not even pull my merch out day one. Had a whole car full of merch. Did not even pull it out day one. Yeah. Yeah, this is... Your boy was not feeling Philadelphia. Mark comes to the car and is just the most... This man had 11 matches over the course of the week. 11. I had 4 and a segment and a couple appearances and was still just like, oh, woe is me. Oh, how could I? It's just too much work. And this man's like... I mean, granted, he's 12 years younger than me. He's got a little more spirit in his heart. But this is his second or third match of 11. And it's a main event. And I said, listen, here's what I think. He said, here's what I think. And we went out and actually had a 19-minute banger of a match to main event this show. But when I tell you, I came in for the match before mine, my match, and then left and threw up the deuces and texted him when I was on my way out. Like, I was completely non-participatory. I'm sorry to those of you that were there. God bless Casey Catal and Brandon Kirk, who pulled me aside, and we had a very good, deep conversation that I needed to have, and it woke up my spirits a little bit. But I was very much so not present, but I had such a good match with Mark that it kind of helped me a little bit. After the show, I went and met up with Manders. And his lovely partner, Sawyer, who is out with a broken hand.
Worst time
of the year. And she says to me, we're all just kind of hanging out, killing time. We've all made it to Philly. You know, we're just thinking about the week. And she goes, am I still allowed to come sell merch at your show? And I was like, baby, you come do whatever the fuck you want at my show. You're supposed to be on my show. You were one of the draws of my show. And I said, if you want to come do commentary on my show. And she ended up doing commentary.
Hell yeah.
So we got the girls some... lovely, what are they called? This is how fucked my brain is. What's a mimosa, Effie? We got the girls some mimosas and put them on commentary, and I hope they had a good time with that. But I'm not jumping ahead. We hung out for a little bit with them, and then I ended up going back to the hotel. Finally met up with Allison Catch, chilled a little bit, and woke up the next day after sleeping a very long time and felt even worse. And here's where I just sort of started giving up completely. I was supposed to go do a fashion show for the lovely Yolanda, Gimmicks 24/7, that I had prefaced with you. Oh, clearly, we did not make it to the Callous Dowboy show because I wouldn't leave my car and it was raining.
Oh my God. I said,
I'm not risking traffic. I'm already just like, it's disaster so far, right? Like, I was going to leave the H2O Center with Marcus Mathers, mosh at the Dowboy show, come back to the H2O Center in main event. My spirit was not there. I had lost all spirit. So I'm supposed to go to this fashion show. Traffic is awful. I leave too late. It's my fault. I cannot find parking. It's an hour into this thing already starting. And I go, you know what? No, I'm done. So I bail completely on doing the fashion show, which looked incredible, by the way. Everyone who was involved, incredible. But I knew my spirit was not in a good place. Yeah. So what did I do? I said, I have to go get my spirit right. And I went and I found Cole Radrick at another show. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go see Cole Radrick at this show. I went in and surprised everyone. And it, once again, I love what I've been able to accomplish in my career. Everyone had to shake my hand at this show. That was the show that this was. And it was great. And it was beautiful. And I saw a lot of friends I haven't seen in a while. But I did sit down at this show. I was chilling with Cole Radrick. I was just like, Cole, I'm just not in a great mood. And he's like, I'm about to have to wrestle. See you later. Everyone had to come shake my hand and say thank you. And what a beautiful thing. I was not in a good mood. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kind of wall I hit, Pitar. But part of it was a wall of WrestleMania. And part of it, I think, was like poor timing of me hitting a wall of 5 years of going nonstop. Like literally nonstop forever. And even pre-COVID had been nonstop with work and wrestling every weekend. And then hitting COVID and going nonstop every weekend for four more years after that.
It's just knowing what was going on with your... That's tracks. Tracks.
It does track.
It does track. It does
well,
track.
And it felt very reflective and very like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I be appreciative of how much blessing I am surrounded with? So I get out of this show and I've got to go get ready for Wally Mania. So I can't bail on two things in a day. I would be such a piece of shit if I did this. And I don't have any clothes to wear. I've not brought anything that is consistent with showing up to a backstage, like, best of the best, who's who in wrestling party. So I go my ass to a Target parking lot, and I get an outfit, and I change in the parking lot, and I just sit there for 40 minutes while I muster up the courage to go to Wally Mania. Now, granted, Wally Mania starts at 8 p.m. My ass was there at 8 p.m., I saw a few people. I went in the back. It was very loud. It was very intense. I saw Bobby Lashley and Cedric Alexander and, of course, the lovely Emilio Sparks, who had invited me. I saw Ricochet. There's a lot of just celebrities here that are very cool people or people I know. And I was having a good time seeing everyone. And then I decided I'm done. I got through about an hour and 20 minutes, and this was no offense to anyone else, but I was sort of looking around and I went like, Jay Rose was helping with the show, and he, they, she, now all genders, congratulations to Jay Rose. They were helping with the show, and I said, Jay Rose, I'm going to leave. Do you think anybody cares? And they were like, no, I don't. I think you're okay. I think you can just go. And I said goodbye to a few people, and as soon as I left, Jimmy Lloyd messages me and goes, I'm almost to Wally Mania. Are you there? And I went, oh, my God. And then Allie messaged me and goes, I'm almost to Wally Mania. Are you there? And I went, oh, my gosh. And even as I'm leaving, I run into Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, Omos, who Brett had gone to see Omos do the Philly cheesesteak and pizza eating contest. Yeah. And I was on the phone with him that day. And I talked to Omos a little bit about GCW and Brett's love for Omos. And I said, you got to come out. You got to come out to GCW. He said, okay, maybe, maybe, maybe. Now, also on this day was the Bloodsport show. Now, for a long time, me and Josh Barnett were both running shows with Brett, but did not ever speak to each other. And something changed in Texas where we both bonded really well. And from then on, we have been inseparable bros. And he came to me Friday night before the show and was telling me how excited he was for the gay brunch and how awesome it was that we've done that. And I talked to him a little about the Bloodsport and how crazy it was to see things, because not only was Bloodsport full of crazy superstars like your Speedballs and Josh Barnett's and Dolph Ziggler's Nick Nemeth, but Shayna Baszler came, who is a WWE contracted superstar, and wrestled Masha Slamovich, which is this real WWE doesn't play nice with others usually, right? They don't have any reason to come out on the indies. Yeah. And not only that, Charlie Dempsey, who is William Regal's son, came and wrestled Matt Mikowski at Bloodsport, another WWE contracted talent. And then you're looking around at the participants, and I was not there for this, but who was up sitting next to Brett in the same position I would be sitting next to Brett for the rest of the weekend was one of my favorite wrestlers, one of the top guys, someone that everybody's got on the lip of their tongue, the tip of their tongue, CM Punk. And me and Brett had a conversation. He was like, I thought you and Punk had a thing. And I was like, no, I was wrong. I was mistaken. Punk is actually my favorite superstar. And Punk is one of the best sports entertainers and pro wrestlers of all time. And I respect CM Punk so much. And I cannot wait to see what the future holds. Because Braun Strowman was also there. And Natalya was also there. But this is the real brain breaker of who was at Bloodsport. Nick Khan, the president of WWE, was there present at Bloodsport. And then they made a statement, Triple H made a statement about how they're looking to expand into other wrestling companies. Now, this may be a reference to them working with TNA Impact, where they had Jordan Grace come in on the Women's Rumble. This may be a reference to them working with, you know, maybe a smaller company like an MLW. But I will tell you, all of the stars were there that day on Thursday with WWE, honoring WWE at the GCW Bloodsport event with our good friend Josh Barnett and my close confidant, Brett Lauderdale. And I just want to say that now, upon reflection and many conversations, I feel very good about this. But at the time, in between skipping a function and going to Wally Mania and going, I'm out of here, and seeing all these WWE people nonstop all day, I was going, can I just have anything to myself? Is there anything that's just mine? Or is it all going to be encroached upon? So I went to bed pretty early. And I felt if I didn't go to bed early, I would have a miserable rest of my week. She is the funniest because she's not fighting this at all, but she really wants you to believe she is.
Yeah.
She is such a silly girl. Are you Count Orlok? Are you Nosferatu? Now, here's what's crazy.
Lucy, I have one hand.
I went to bed.
One hand.
One hand, Lucy. You're fine, baby. I went to bed very early Thursday night, and I got a long bit of sleep. Oh, my gosh. Are you seeing this live, our Patreon people? This is great. Shark, don't add to this. Don't add to this, Shark. One hand. You see what's healing? PTR got a very cool hand tattoo, and there's been a lot of questions. Would you like to explain? Is it the wash cycle for your shirt?
Yeah, it's wash instructions.
So I sleep all night.
Oh, sorry. someone tried to make a dig at me today and they go, is that a temporary tattoo?
Oh, is that a temporary tattoo?
Like, nice fucking
Do I look like a fucking loser?
Nice fucking
Do I look like I would get a tip? That's I love people would come up and be like, that's not real, is it? And I'd be like, yeah, nope, it's not real.
It's the alternative. Yeah, I took a Sharpie to the side of my... What kind of idiot do you think I am?
Yeah, I just write it right here. No, it's permanent for both of us. Permanence is cool. Guess what? One day, we're going to be 60-year-old people, and we're going to be sitting around. We're going to be old, and we're still going to have sick tattoos. Mm-hmm. So get used to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I love to see out in public? Tattoo dads.
Yeah.
That are like clearly like you can tell they've been to the punkest shows, they've been to the craziest things, and they've just like got their baby with them.
Yeah.
Alex said my brain shifted. Cause I really was not into babies, and now baby Gabriella, my niece, I'm like all of a sudden, I'm like,
I mean that's what they say.
I melted
having children.
Yeah. I melted. Brett will send me pictures of his babies and I'm like, look at the little outfits. Like I sent me the Easter pictures and I was like, the little outfits. My mom sent me more pictures of baby Gabriella, and I'm just like, I'm coming down early to see baby Gabby. I'm coming down. I'm going to make it happen. I don't know what it is, but it's turned me into a little mush pile for babies.
So
all babies.
Funny.
I love them. Show me your babies. I want to hold your babies. I'll babysit your babies. I don't care. He also has a dog, my brother, and the dog like protects the baby.
Oh.
I don't know how Bebop would do because he's a shark, but I assume
Bebop would eat that baby.
Bebop would eat the baby. We were working on him. Look at him up there just like sharking right now. You have to tell him I'm a shark. Long story short, I slept all night. I left Wally Mania early. I know I missed out on a lot of fun, but guess what? I woke up and an earthquake had just taken place. A category 4.8 earthquake. I don't know if it's called category or what it's called. And can I tell you something? Mentally, I did a 180. Something happened with that earthquake, Peter. And I woke up and I looked and it said earthquake. And I felt like a whole new creature, like a whole new bird. And I don't know what it was. Huh. I don't know what shifted in the earthquake. Huh. I don't know what changed. But on Friday morning when I woke up, about 15 minutes after the earthquake, I felt like an angelic rebirth of self. I then was headed up to the collective for the first time in the whole week. And I had my first match with Gene Money, who's a very good boy, and Session Moth Martina, who we have teamed with in the past at Progress Wrestling. Progress Wrestling hit me up. We got some things to figure out for the summer. Might be going to England just to hang out a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Just vibe. We'll see. We still got to get PTR to England. Yeah. I had a lot of people asking where PTR was this week.
I'm kind
of
glad I wasn't with
old Moody Boy over here.
Yeah, I don't do well with Because I may have told you to put your big girl panties on at a certain point.
Yeah, you would have. You would have gone like, what? Shut up. That's what you would have done because you're a good friend. But here's what you have to understand. There's a lot of people around me who are very nervous to make me mad. This is the environment I've created, whether it's true or not. And I get to just go like, hum, and they're like, let him pout. You know, it's kind of disgusting. So we show up. I get that match handled. It was such a fun show. Progress brought the heat, brought the energy. And from then on, I had to get through what I think was the biggest mental block for me all week. And that was the I Quit match with Mansfield.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I knew that once I got through this, it wasn't the brunch that was stressing me out more than anything. It was getting through this I Quit match. Because the first match, canonically, I got staples in my head. The second match, canonically, even though victorious, I had my hair ripped out with a drill and then got a manic tattoo the next day. And now this third match at Mania with a show the next day, I was thinking the worst. And I was fighting to be the best because I am thinking the worst. And this match was completely brutal. My head is still so sore. I did not realize how much the adrenaline was hiding the pain. I've come home and I am in severe pain. I should have never asked for more believability in wrestling. This is the greatest mistake I've ever made. If this doesn't win Feud of the Year somewhere, I'm gonna have to beat up. The feud is going to be with the people who decide who the Feud of the Year is because I'm fucking sick of it. Sadly, I was zip-tied, industrial zip ties like the police use to the ropes, and I had chairs just thrown at my face multiple times. This is after choke slams and pile drivers and chair shots and all kinds of pain. Just being punched in the face by Mance Warner is enough. And sadly, even though I asked her, I can't blame her for being a sweet, wonderful girl. Allie came out with the power drill and tried to save me and was then caught in the grips of Mance Warner. And he said, if I don't quit, that he's going to drill her face in. And so do I believe that I quit for me? No. But I did quit to save my sister's life. And I think that's fine. And I hold no shame to that. But I don't think if you're Mance Warner, you can genuinely believe that you got one up on me because I had to stop you from killing another person that means something to me. I don't think that's me really quitting.
You can't come after family.
Right. We learned that in Fast 9. And we learned that in Fast 8. And we learned that in Fast 7. And we learned that in Fast 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that in Fast 5.
Uh-huh.
And we learned that in Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. And we learned that in Too Fast, Too Furious.
What about 4?
I'm not watching 4 again. 4 was a real figure it out point.
I still think 2 is the best.
Too Fast, Too Furious?
Too Fast,
that
too
I went
furious.
To see with my whole family on my birthday? Figure that out.
We spent 2 hours today discussing the career of Tyrese.
Tyrese has had an incredible career. Look at Baby Boy and then look at him going to space with Ludacris.
Has Tyrese ever gotten his flowers?
I don't think so, because he's also an award-winning recording artist.
Name a Tyrese song.
Baby Boy. Hey Siri, what song did Tyrese sing? Sweet lady, pulling me back lately. What you like? The best that I can be. I like them girls. Shame. What am I going to do? Let's just be real about how I feel about Tyrese. Do you know Tyrese's last name?
Gibson.
Gibson. Mm-hmm. That's my cousin. Tyrese is my cousin. So Tyrese, if you're ready for nepotism and to bring me into the fold, I could be anything you need. Okay? And that means not like an assistant or anything, but like the star of Fast 11. I could be that. The star of Fast 12.
What's his character's name in Fast movies?
I don't remember.
That's not good.
Hey, Siri, what is Tyrese's character in Fast and Furious? Roman Pierce.
Oh, how did we not know? Yeah, of course.
Roman. I can hear Ludacris saying Roman.
Yeah. Has anyone looked more tired than Ludacris in those movies?
But how could he not be? Everybody's testing him. He's a genius.
He looks exhausted.
He figured out how to go to space.
It really wore him out.
I always see Ludacris when I'm at the airport.
Yeah.
He has the chicken and beer restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, from a faraway distance, I think it's him.
Yeah.
It's a paper cutout
mm-hmm.
of Ludacris. Mm-hmm. Either way, back to the seriousness. I quit, and it wasn't because I quit. And so if you want to take that as your big magic moment, Mance Warner, cool. Great. Wow. What have you proven? Nothing. But I don't think I'm done. Because in Tampa, there was no winner. And in the strap match, I won. And I did have the help of my friends. But in Philadelphia, at Joey Janela's Spring Break 8, you won. And it was because of my friends. So now, I think we're tied. In my mind, we are tied. I don't think we are done. I don't know where it goes. I don't want to wait my whole life to deal with you. I'd like to deal with you sooner rather than later. And if you really think... if you really think you can take me out, then do it without having anybody interfere. Do it without having anybody run in. Ban everybody from ringside. Make it a statement. Say I lose if anybody comes out. Say you lose if anybody comes out. You don't have any friends, though.
Can we lock y'all in a phone booth?
Well, I seen that Russian video. Cole Radrick was showing me the phone booth Russian fighting. Very scary stuff.
You should do motorcycle chariots.
Oh, God. Like,
have you seen motorcycle chariot races?
No.
They hook two motorcycles up to a chariot and they have a way to like have them run and they just go around a ring.
And then we fight?
Yeah.
Between the chariots?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I do think there's somewhere you could lock us, and I'm not going to even say it here, but there's a future plan of somewhere we could get locked. And I don't want it to have to get to that because I worry more for my life and safety than anything. But I do think
you're thinking like a David Blaine under the ocean. You got to beat him and then get to the top of the surface
before my air runs out. I can't hold my breath that long. Oh, so I really don't think I should agree to that one. Yeah. They say it's a mental game.
You got Shark Boy. He could train you to hold your breath underwater.
They say holding your breath is a mental game. And mentally, I'm not all the way there. So I can't promise I would hold my breath that long. But really, can Mancer? I mean, we both have pretty severe brain damage at this point. Maybe the
How
WWE stepping in will help
How long can he go without
us.
A Zen?
Oh.
Because I saw a little cry for help on Twitter this past
When he
weekend.
Didn't have his Zens?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe it's a nicotine on a pole match.
Shit.
And if you get the nicotine, you can use it. But if you don't, you're going to be really freaking out, baby. I pitched that one time for me and Jimmy Jacobs, and he said, I'm not going through that. So we both get locked in a room for a full day, and it's a ladder match where there's a nicotine vape at the top. And whoever gets it can calm down. But if you don't, you're just going to go nuts. And he's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going through that suffering. I was like, all right, Jimmy. But I think it's a pretty entertaining match.
I love how the Achilles heel... for a lot of really tough human beings in your world is lack of nicotine.
Lack of nicotine is a real problem.
You don't have your fruity vape. Uh-oh.
The amount of tough guys who come up to you and they go, hey, can I use your vape?
Yeah.
Hey, what kind of vape you got?
Hopefully blue cotton candy.
Yeah, it's Blue Raz Supreme Ice. Yeah. So I finished that match. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm obviously a little embarrassed. But I stuck around for a little bit to watch For the Culture, my good friend Billy Dixon running the For the Culture show. The environment, the energy for that was incredible.
Just a mensch of a human being.
Just the greatest, the best. Does so much. Had a crazy match with Rina Yamashita. His head has to be hurting too because she was just hitting him in the fucking head. And I asked him, I said, your ring gear was so cool. You were wearing that little backpack. And he goes, I just forgot to take off the little backpack. And I said, oh, well, it looked really cool. Yeah.
I also like it when my own interests cross with wrestlers and seeing them post about the new Casey Musgraves album.
Oh, was Billy posting about the new? Mm-hmm. Oh, what a sweetheart. Billy really is someone I would have never thought. It's very much the Hot Ones, Paul Rudd of like, look at us, who would have guessed, especially with me and Billy, because we were together at a time where the people running queer shows that we were a part of were not paying anybody, were treating us like shit, were abusive, were trash people. And for us to stick it out to this point, to where we are both with the largest independent wrestling company in the world, running our own shows, providing a platform for people who wouldn't necessarily have a light shown on them. And it has changed the way people are looking at us in the business. It is rewarding and magical, and it's lovely to have somebody who's been on that whole ride with you that you can look at and go, bitch. And he goes, bitch. And we just go, bitch. And to just like speak a thousand volumes in a word to each other or with a glance to each other. And me looking at Billy going, are you offended if I leave your show early? And he goes, girl, get the fuck out of here. You know, I stayed for a few matches, but I was like, girl, I am feeling it right now. I need to leave. And he was like, please leave. You have to be here at 9 a.m. And I was like, you have to be here at 9 a.m. And he goes, I don't care. It shouldn't take both of us. You know, we made it work. And I went to bed for a little while, enough. And I came back to a glorious morning, the morning of Effie's Big Gay Brunch. And guess what? Everybody was there on time. The building was sold out.
You constantly do these during Mercury retrogrades. Do you realize that?
Is that crazy?
Yeah, you're consistently through. Like, I think every single one that you've done has been during a Mercury retrograde.
Well, then I'm going to say there's too many Mercury retrogrades.
Amen to that, brother. You may have accidentally started this under a Mercury retrograde, and you're stuck with that birth time.
You think so?
Which like would be really funny for a Mercury 12th houser like you. Sorry, astrology shit.
Well, we're going to look at the dates together and really see. Because I want to see why the first one was canceled, and then why where our re-entry took place.
Probably Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. I mean, well, COVID retrograde. But I mean, I want to look at the dates together and figure it out. Breeze. Another WWE crossover. Breeze is like an agent and an NXT guy who helps out putting together matches, and he does a lot of their digital media. He does online interviews and stuff. And luckily, we had Breeze and Fandango there, the Fashion Police, Dirty Breeze, Breezango, whatever you want to call them. And they said, look, you know, Breeze has to get out of here at a certain time. So I realized I was not going to have to main event my show. And I put us match four. What a fucking magic moment. I do want to say and reiterate, every tag team has an Allie and every tag team has an Effie. In this particular group, Tyler Breeze and Allie were very much on their shit. And me and Fandango were very much just flirting. Just like they would start to do everything. And then we'd be like, what are we going to do here? Just hold each other? Just like pretend to kiss a little bit. And they're like, why are you still on this one part? Stop. And they've got this whole thing together. And we're going like, what if we rub each other's bodies here? Would that be, how hot would that be? Would that be good for you? Yeah. Okay. And they're going, what the fuck are you two doing? You two are out of control. So we get it together. We make it happen. Match 4 of 7. We are in and out of there. It felt so good to be done with my match, pouring sweat and not going, I have to rush immediately to merge. Yeah. I have to finish up the show. I have to do this. No, I got to kick back and I got to watch the rest of the matches. And I especially got to watch the main event, which was Sunny Kiss and Dark Sheik just tearing it the fuck up. And it was so lovely to sit on the stage, to enjoy the show with everyone else, to watch the match happen, to just take it in. It was so calming and so lovely. And it took a lot of the pressure off of me. Because I feel like, you know what? This is what I wanted in the beginning of Effie's Big Gay Brunch. Obviously, it's named after me. Obviously, there's a lot of talented people here. I always wanted to be something silly in the middle of the card, and nothing is really focused on me. Obviously, it's a big match. It's a WWE dream match for me. Our dream match is consisting of men who kind of have gay gimmicks having to do really gay shit with us now. But to just go out in the middle of the show, to be done with the middle of the show, and to then let go, like, here's the girls who are actually good at the fucking wrestling part. Please watch them and have them just tear it up and go crazy and have our show run perfectly on time. You know, not rushing the TJPW GCW show, which Sheik and Allie both wrestled on after the brunch. And I was like, I couldn't do it. I'm so proud of y'all. I couldn't do it. I got to go to merch. I got to hang out. Thank you to Sam again. I got to just have a big line of people. I had so much fun. And it was probably the easiest brunch so far. And I think some of that comes with experience.
It's also like, yeah, let other people do this shit.
Yeah. I cut a promo at the beginning of the show. I never opened the show. And I basically said like, yo, I'm in severe pain. I am so tired. I am doing so much. But I trust that the people we have propped up and the way we have set this up, I don't think we're going to have any problems. if I take a little break skiing.
Like, you do, like, as much as you talk about, like, the, you know, you want to not do it anymore for your own everything, but it's also just like you got to let the baby deer stand on its own feet.
Yeah, let the bird fly out of the nest. Yeah. And it's not necessarily that I don't ever want to do it again, but I need to pull back on the expectation that there will always be Effie running a big gay brunch. No offense to anyone, Billy Dixon was the only person who cut a promo for the whole show, for the entire show. And I know it's sold out. I know it's this, but there is sort of this, well, yeah, Effie's running a big crazy show. Hope you're a part of it. It's going to sell out. It's guaranteed success. Like, everyone's going to see you. There's going to be multiple articles from the Philly Inquirer and international articles, and Monomoth from Thailand's going to be there, and we're going to have WWE superstars, and you're going to sell so much merch. This sort of like built-in success of it has in a certain sense spoiled the children.
Yeah.
To where I'm expected and I'm doing all the work. And if I'm not doing all the work, it's not getting done, because it doesn't have to get done if I'm doing the work. And so six in a calendar year, I am finally on top of all the bookings I'm taking. Luckily, I have you next to me and you see how much sheer amount of appearances Effie is making. Mm-hmm. And once again, like, I hit that wall in the middle of the week. I can't hit that wall for good. I have to stick around for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Number one, I have bills. Yeah. Number two, I think that I have found a place in wrestling where we were providing something that's not provided elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hit a wall where I'm done. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't hit a wall where I'm going, it's over. I've been offered 4 different brunches this year so far. I've said no to everything. And when the time is right, the time is right. I'm putting no pressure on myself. I feel wonderfully free right now that all I'm going to focus on is kind of being a greedy little pig and doing my shit. And it's going to be a summer where it's not punctuated at the end of the summer with me feeling like I have to do a brunch or I have to do an event.
Yeah.
Or everyone's looking to me because this is what normally happens. You know, we did Chicago 3 years in a row. I don't think AEW draws like it thinks it draws. I don't think it was as good last time as it could be. And I don't want to feel the pressure to do this at every moment when people are expecting it. So no, I'm peeling back. And I will support everyone else putting on gay events. Happy Pride. Book Effie to be Effie and not work. You know?
Yeah. But it's also like, you exist, therefore other people can do it. Like, that,
it's proven.
You don't, exactly. Proof of concept. It exists. Now go do it yourself.
And I even made it a big point to say, the show sold out without anyone announced. But not because it's just Effie announced. Like, there's a trust level that, like, there are so many popular, talented LGBTQ people now that I'm going to put on a sickening show, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it may not include everyone you know or have heard of, may not include everyone who's ever been on the show. It is going to be a sick show.
It's
because you trust me to put on a,
like,
sick show.
Not to downplay you as a wrestler or anything, but it would not be the thing that it is if it was just you that was good.
Right, right.
So
thank you.
So maybe you don't always need Effie as an ingredient.
Yes. Maybe the cis hat, the cis white guy can take a fucking seat. Definitely not hat. Some people still think I am. Some people still think I'm doing a bit. I just want you to know there's a Jake Shears vinyl sitting up behind me. I did on the mini cast say pussy's like fine wine. It ages gracefully. But I just want people to know I have not had sex with a woman since like 2013. Effie's pansexual brunch doesn't market as well, but I can tell you, I'm not seeking out any women for intercourse at this point in my life. But also, like, there are so many other diverse people who have stepped up and been able to do what they do, and I love that I can give you a platform to do it, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to be that platform anymore.
Yeah.
These people are on their own.
Yeah.
They're doing their thing. And regular wrestling companies are booking these people, not as a sideshow act or as a, you know, a little like, here's where the gays are going. And that still happens, obviously, but it's like, there's still like, we have integrated much better across the board.
Yeah.
And I feel very happy about where we are. We are not perfect. We have not, you know, the scene has changed, but the scene can always change more. But I only have to do so much. I am not holding myself to making everything happen because I am just a human being.
It's like think of what the world would be like if there were 5 people doing shows like this and you were the 6th.
Yeah. Be great.
Be awesome.
More.
Yeah.
More.
Like it's like you, if anyone is listening to this and is encouraged in a direction to do that, it's like, yes, it's effort. Yes, it's work, but it's good work that you're doing.
Right.
Like,
you could sit around and wait for somebody to serve you a piece of pie out of the pie they made, or you could bake a fucking pie.
Yeah.
And it's hard as shit to bake pies, and you have to let the dough rest, and you have to
God damn it. You're going to feel good eating that pie.
Yeah. And guess what? It's a potluck, baby. If everybody's bringing a dish to the potluck, nobody's hungry.
Yeah.
Everybody bring a dish. Come, please. Serve us your dish. I would love to see your dish. I hope your dish isn't like everyone else's dish. I hope you got a weird, wild, fun dish. Either way, I had a great brunch. It was exhausting. It was wonderful. It was rewarding. Everyone did so well across the board. And our timing was perfect because I did not want to encroach on the girls for the TJPW GCW show. And every show was packed out. All the shows were packed out. There's not a show where you were like, oh, people didn't show up. From 11 a.m. Thursday to 3 in the morning Saturday night, which we will get to, it was packed out all across the board. So we rested. We got food. We chilled. We went to the hotel room. Me, Pollo, Sheik. Who else was with Sheik? Ref Scarlet. And then the handsome butterflies who were helping us out all weekend. Came to the hotel room. We started watching Mania, and then we decided at a certain point, we got to get back to the venue. We've got the clusterfuck tonight. Now, I originally thought I was going to be in the clusterfuck, which featured 87 different wrestlers in a battle royal style match that Brett has now admitted was written by himself and Mike Bailey with assistance from Pero, Cole Radrick, and MLJ. And I just want to say, I don't want to spoil anything, but when Cole Radrick got eliminated, I was like, hey, are you done? And he looks at me as he's putting on a different costume and just goes and makes his face. And I was like, all right. I was like, you got to stay the whole time? He's like, I'm in till the finish. And I was like, all right, I'll see you in a minute. But it was very much like he had to drive home the next day. Like he was having to go back to go to work. And it was like, Cole's out of the match. I was like, Cole, good. You're out of the match. Let's go chill. And he was like, I'm not out of the match. It was pretty crazy to get back to the venue, and on all the big screens in the venue, they had WrestleMania pulled up, and it was just 100 wrestlers all watching WrestleMania together.
Gosh.
And it was crazy, and it was an energy, and I was very tired at this point, like just exhaustingly tired, and still it kind of woke me up and got me in the mood. They're putting up the Punjabi prison, which the Bollywood boys ended up just covered in blood during the Punjabi prison match. All respect to them because it was brutal as shit. Crazy, those two. Please be careful, you two. I was like, it's supposed to be in your favor. You're the Bollywood boys. The Punjabi prison's in your favor. He goes, we're trying to be hardcore like you. And I was like, please stop being hardcore like me. No. Now, ended up I was not in the clusterfuck match, and I originally expected to be, because I had to run in and stop Mance Warner from cashing in and winning the belt. And I think people were a little confused by this, because I was not doing this to assist Blake Christian. Blake Christian was left hapless on the ground by Joey Janela after trying to cut a promo. And Mance Warner ran in to cash in his Royal Rumble thing that he stole from me when he illegally entered the match January 1st. And I just want to be clear, I don't like Blake Christian. I have petitioned for another title match with Blake Christian. I have a victory over Blake Christian. He has a victory over me as well. I won't deny that. But I don't give a fuck if it's Blake Christian or Joey Janela or Allie Catch or whoever holds that championship. I will not let Mance Warner hold that championship. I think that's pretty easy to understand that. Yeah. Okay. Well, if I want to take the belt off of somebody, wouldn't I want to take it off of Mancer? No. Because I don't want him to hold the belt at all. I don't ever want that belt to make its way to him. I don't ever want him to be able to hold the belt or say he got the belt or say I have to take the belt from him. I said I would stand in his way. I said I would stop him no matter what. And you know what? I wasn't held together with fucking zip ties. I didn't have someone threatening my sister. And so, no, I went out there and I beat the shit out of him with a chair and I ran his ass off. And I don't give a fuck that Blake Christian has the belt. And I think Joey Janela will get another chance at this belt because Missy Hyatt turned on Joey and cost him the championship Friday night. So I'm not concerned about that. I think Joey will get the belt. I think Joey will give me a shot at the belt if I want a shot at the belt because Joey's a valiant soldier. Yeah, he should have known Missy Hyatt was going to turn on him. That's kind of what she does. But, you know, granted, Can't be mad at it. The bad boy losing at his own show. Not at my big gay brunch. Victorious over Breezango. Bussy, thank you. As Brett said, this is our fucking house. I said, oh, yeah? And he goes, yeah, you should go tell them they're losing. I love that he's real excited. And he's like, it's our house. They're not winning here. And I go, okay. And he goes, you should go tell them. Either way, I stopped Mance Warner. I was scolded by GCW management for getting involved in the business. I don't give a fuck. And I was not included in the Clusterfuck match, which I ended up staying and watching the whole thing. It was crazy. It was wild.
Said 87?
87 people. The final two? Well, the final three were Yoshihiko, the wrestling doll, Nick Gage, and Micro Man. And the final two were Micro Man and Nick Gage. And I'll give you a guess at who won this match.
It wasn't Nick Gage.
It wasn't Nick Gage. Micro Man victorious over 87 wrestlers. The winner of the clusterfuck, Micro Man. The most incredible. My brother, mi hermano en Christos, Micro Man. And I hope he's feeling okay. I know he was getting a little bit of the sniffles towards the end of the week. And if you have not gotten tested for COVID after that week, please do. I did. I do not have COVID. I think I'm just exhausted. I slept. I don't think I have anything illness-wise, but I do think I came home and was like, I'm done. The last day, though, I did want to make the most of it. We made our way to WrestleCon for our only appearance at WrestleCon, me and Allie, and sold a little merch, met some people, but I did get to go upstairs to the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame, and I did get to watch the Briscoes induction done by Mark Briscoe, and I was crying like a little baby, and it was so good to catch up with Mark Briscoe. RIP to Jay Briscoe. Those guys, we won the championships from them in GCW. They gave me mad respect when we worked together in Ring of Honor. They had their moments where they were not kind to the gay community, and they turned it around, and they changed their mind, and they now have, you know, been very public in saying how wrong they were. And I'm glad I could be a part of that story for them. And it was very hard to just sit and watch Mark give that speech.
Yeah.
But I was glad I was there for it, because I kind of didn't realize what was going on. I went upstairs, and it was right then.
Yeah.
And just pulled me in, and it was really intense and really crazy.
I don't know. Like, those are the fucking stories that matter, though. Like, it doesn't matter if you start off day one on the right side. The ability to self-reflect and change your mind and say that I was wrong is one of the most important things that human beings can do.
Yeah. And Mark Briscoe is also just the funniest motherfucker there ever was. And all his kids are there. And I mean, he finishes the speech, and it's this real emotional thing. And everybody's kind of chilling after, and he's taking time to speak with everybody and talk with everybody. And then his kids come up to him and try to give him this stupid fake hat. And he puts it on, and he goes, do I look cool? Do I look cool in my hat? Just immediately goes into, like, Mark Briscoe dad mode. I think he's got 8 kids now.
Damn.
They got the chicken farm. And he's now the Ring of Honor champion.
Wow.
So congratulations to Mark Briscoe. Also, pretty funny moment. Sabu no-showed in the Hall of Fame. He took the deposit and then decided he wasn't going to come up there. He had changed his mind. And it's not like he was far away. He had to take one elevator upstairs to be there and to be present. And he decided, I'm not leaving my table. I'm just going upstairs. Or I'm not going upstairs. And I honestly, nothing is more indie Hall of Fame than just saying you changed your mind and not coming, not because you're not within 100 feet of this place, but because you just don't want to get out of your chair. So congratulations to Sabu. You are forever in the Hall of Fame, no matter what you say. You can't change your mind. I've inducted you. You're inducted. What a moment. I got out of town before WrestleMania. I was on the same flight with the lovely Mojo Rawley, who I talked about the other week. And I hid my face and did not speak. Not because I don't respect him, not because I don't want to talk business with him, but because I physically could not speak to anyone else. I couldn't do it. I couldn't have him go, how was your week? And go, I'm dying. I think I'm dying. I think it's over. And so I just sat in my chair, my emergency row, and I knew the flight attendant. And he was like, you good? You need anything? And I was like, I'm going to sleep now. And then I slept the whole way home. I got home. I got here. You were still at the movies seeing Monkey Man, which we're going to see again. Well, I'm going to see for the first time tomorrow. I ordered an entire Hawaiian pizza. I found my Vampire Weekend vinyl. I had the dogs with me. And it was exactly how I needed the journey to end. perfect finish to the week. Pizza, sleep, and the dumbest show about the Godzilla company I've ever seen. And thank God for these puppies. They were so lovely when I got here. I think they were only nice to me because I had a pizza. But I was not going to give them any pizza. So they remained nice in hopes. And I just pretended it was because they were so happy to see me. All three puppies are here. What a moment. You a shark? Now, Pitar, those dogs, did they test your limits?
A little this weekend.
Yeah, I felt it.
A little.
I felt it. I've still got to, I'm going to bitch at AJ a little bit. I am. I know she was the least of the concerns, but they act up when they're around her because they know.
Well, I mean, they got abandoned here and I took Cranberry for a walk by herself.
Oh, the princess. The princess. See what you get? Nothing. All right. I'm guessing we probably have some questions.
Yes, we do.
Let's get into it.
Are you a needle drop person at all?
Yeah, when I'm putting the records on. No, I'm not specifically.
So you don't know what yellow flannel means?
No.
So yellow flannel is when an album is superb. And Vampire Weekend got yellow flannel, 9 out of 10.
I think we gotta put it on. We're gonna put it on soon. It is, I just wanna say this, like I've always been an ultimate Vampire Weekend mark. But this one, I think it's a band that I've aged with. Their first record coming out like my freshman year of college. And then on from there, you can look at life points where the things have hit. And they're older than me. I think they just all turned 40.
Yeah.
I'm turning 34 in a month. But
isn't it crazy that we're 6 years away from 40?
Oh, you know what, though? Can I just say this? I love knowing that and knowing that 40 for me doesn't look like 40 as I would have expected it at 20. Like, 100%. I don't feel old going towards that 40. No. Like, I feel like I can still do whatever I want. Like, I'm pumped on my life. There's no expectation of what a 40-year-old looks like.
Yeah.
And my brother already had a baby, so there's no pressure on me. I have this baby, Shark baby, and I have niece baby, his baby, and I don't feel like I need a human baby of my own. So call me selfish, but I feel all right. We're getting more dogs. That's all I want.
More dogs.
I had a dream last night that we bought a bulldog together. We decided that we needed a big bulldog. I know. It's a dream, okay? Doesn't have to be true.
I've been having weird dreams since I got this done.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Do you want to take some dream gummies and see how deep it really gets?
I would love to.
I mean, I have that extra pack of dream gummies that you're welcome to anytime.
Did you hear about the town that legalized weed but banned alcohol?
No. What?
The residents were left high and dry.
No! You got me! I wanted to go to this town. I felt close to this town.
Thank you, Heather.
Heather, you're always going to get me.
Continue to try and get him as much as possible. It's getting harder, but
it's not that hard.
Every time
this
I think
an expert
he's,
mode.
He's going to see through it this
time.
Yeah,
well, okay. You think that. You think that.
I do. So my version of that I do at the store all the time is people will come in and they'll go, any deals on vapes? And I'll go, oh, yeah, 2 for the price of 2.
Now that's like grandpa jokes. That's like real deep daddy.
But I've gotten so good at passing it as actual information that people start to go,
They're on whippets. They're on whippets, Peter. It's not hard to trick people when they've been huffing nitrous gas.
I had to. So they gave us an extra nitrous sign today just to kind of be like, and I went and I underlined the section that says that we get to refuse service.
Yes, as you
don't
should.
Don't do whippets, folks.
We're not going to get
really,
into that
it's
story.
Not as innocuous as you think it is. It's
stick to poppers.
Poppers don't really lead to crackhead behavior, and
I've never stolen anything on poppers.
Yeah, I've never stolen poppers because I was denied getting poppers, and I had that happen.
I don't want to go that far.
Okay, this is from Mike. I can't sleep on planes, so I like to watch movies. I've watched Tar on two separate flights, or like. Was it 2 1.5-hour flights and you split the movie? I would like to think twice as well. I have to fly from Philadelphia to Portland the next week. I'm going to love a suggestion for a good plane movie.
I saw the girl in front of me watching, what's the Glenn Powell, Sidney Sweeney?
The Curse?
No. Where they're in love, they're like lovers, but they're
not. Thank you for smoking.
Oh God.
Anybody but you.
Anyone but you.
Yeah.
That's my suggestion. But also, I don't know exactly what's new release on there right now.
Yeah.
I watched Insidious The Red Door on a flight, and I liked it better on a flight because it wasn't as scary because the screen's so small.
But planes also have that heightened emotionality thing.
Oh, yeah. I'll cry watching a movie on a plane. So maybe just pick something really emotional that'll make you cry. I don't know what's on there right now. That's what worries me. But I have to guess that Exorcist True Believer is on there. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
Please don't watch
it. Don't watch it.
It was such a waste of time. David Gordon Green directed that from Pineapple Express. I'm disgusted. I just like...
That is hard to wrap my
head around. Wrap your brain around that. I went, wait a second. I know his movies. And then I went, what the fuck is happening?
Okay.
If they have Immaculate, okay. I liked Immaculate.
Watch The Beekeeper.
Watch The Beekeeper. They definitely have The Beekeeper.
They definitely have.
Flight.
They've got to have The
that's
Beekeeper.
That's a great action.
That is
flight
100%
film.
Worth your time.
I agree with
you. And
Pizar.
You will probably rate it a 10 out of 10 watching it on a plane.
I missed half of it, and I think it was great.
You missed a
real big chunk.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something? Thank you for letting me sleep.
Of course.
If I'm sleeping, it's necessary.
Yeah. Okay. What else is. If you haven't hit Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Part one? Nope, not anymore. Now the new one's called Mission Impossible Live Reckoning. They're going to have a live reckoning there in the cage, and they're going to let it free and see what it
does. You know that technically that would just mean that they're using GPS.
What?
Yeah, because Dead Reckoning is like analog navigation. It's like you're turning your instruments on.
I thought it was just like a reckoning, you know, when you're dead.
I don't think you're reckoning much when you're dead.
Top Gun Maverick, though, you did watch that one.
I did watch that one.
That's a great plane
film. That's a great plane film. I can't think of any.
You were right about it being basically about, like, you need real actors. Tom Cruise making that stand of, like, you need real pilots. No, you don't.
Oh,
we're all replaced with AI.
Yeah, 100%.
He's like, no, you need real actors.
It's not about the plane. It's about the per. Yeah.
You all know the manual.
I
love
Ham
feel.
In there. I didn't understand why Ed Harris was in 2 fucking seconds.
But
of
he
the
was
movie.
Great. Ed Harris, look at him. You see him, and you're immediately like, that guy's trouble.
Watch Westworld.
How about the scene with Val Kilmer? Did it fuck you up?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
it fucked me up.
It's the Did you ever watch the Cho Show?
No.
His
Is that John Cho?
No, David Cho, the artist.
Oh.
The Val Kilmer episode of the Cho Show, like, annihilated me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has that, there's like a...
Is he still with us or did he die recently?
Hey Siri, is Val Kilmer still alive?
Okay. I found this on the web for his
all right, he's still with us, but he's not doing well.
You know, he's not with us anymore.
OJ! I love how this morning... AJ texted me, OJ died, and I wrote, "De Juice Man." Then I went on Twitter, and they said, my cousin gave the most Atlanta answer ever, and it was like, OJ died, and they wrote, "De Juice Man." We both asked if it was OJ De Juice Man. Okay. I love OJ De Juice Man, and I wasn't even thinking about OJ Simpson. Both of us in Atlanta were feeling,
wow.
Wait a second, was it OJ
The
Juice
was
Man?
Was it OJ The Juice Man?
What? Was it OJ the Juice Man?
No, it wasn't.
No, thank God. I was about to have a real rough day.
I know.
It's the only thing I've ever agreed with Caitlyn Jenner on.
What?
She wrote Good Riddance.
What if OJ the Juice Man? Because we got two more celebrities to go.
Oh, no. It's all three OJs?
Who's the third OJ?
I hope it's
Orange
not.
Julius?
Oh, Jay Baruchel. I hope it's not him. Oh,
that
Jay
would be
Baruchel?
Really tragic. I like Jay Baruchel.
Really tragic. We love you, Jay Baruchel.
Okay. Did we get? I'm sorry, Mike, if we didn't really give you a recommendation.
We gave a few recommendations.
We gave a few
Mike.
Recommendations.
You get in there and you make a choice.
Watch Bo is Afraid.
Yeah. Joey watched that on the flight to Japan, and he talks to me after we landed in Japan, and he goes, "I watched Boy is Afraid" or whatever, and I go, "Yeah," and he goes, "The fuck was that shit?" This is the best Joey Janela response ever. And after seeing the movie where they call him Bo 100 times, he was like, Bowie is afraid or whatever. What the fuck was that shit? And I was like, Joey, I'm glad you asked. Would you like the full synopsis from my point of view?
Okay, this is from Rob. Have you watched Ali's The Life of episode yet? Any thoughts on it?
I have not watched it yet. I have not even watched my own The Life of yet.
This is true.
I am tragic trash. I know I appear in it. I know Bebop appears in it. And I know there's also a scene where I go, Ali, you got to bring up the energy. And she goes, and here he is telling me how my life of needs to go, even though it's not his life of. And I go, I feel like I'm getting a villain at it.
Rob also says, also, my wife says I drink too much coffee, but that can be a real thing, right? It's not a real thing.
It's not a real thing.
Don't listen to your, like.
It would have to be a lot of coffee.
It would have to be a lot of coffee.
I've only had 6 C4s today, and I feel fine.
And if you're drinking coffee, you're like, you get all the natural anti-cancer stuff. And,
yeah.
Especially for men, it's important for prostate cancer and that sort of thing.
And smoking cigarettes is good to fight Parkinson's.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you know if you smoke menthol cigarettes, you can't go to space?
Okay. Is that true?
No.
Oh.
But you've heard that before, right?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. It's not true.
My daddy used to tell me that.
Yeah.
He used to say, if you smoke the menthols, you can't go to space.
My favorite misinformation.
But it's not true?
It's not true.
So I can smoke a Newport up in the ISS?
I'm
smoking a Newport in the ISS. Did you see the film ISS?
You're going to smoke in the International Space Station, and you're going to smoke a Newport?
Yeah. Have you ever smoked a Newport?
I have smoked a Newport.
They're fucking fantastic. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we doing? You smoke a Kool? Kools are my vacation cigarette. If I'm on vacation, baby, I'm smoking a Kool. They're wide-bodied. They got heavy menthol. I want the dark green Kool pack for my vacation.
The dogs are over it. They have found a random towel and are now ripping it apart.
Whatever.
I don't know what's going on.
Y'all want to smoke a Kool? You doggies want to smoke a Kool?
Okay. This is from Julie.
Julie!
I assume that you'll have Mania covered. What is your favorite concert experience story?
That I've ever been to?
Yeah.
One time, me and my mom went to Fall Out Boy with Paul Wall opening, and Paul Wall's bass was so loud, there was pigeon shit falling out of the ceiling of the amphitheater. But my mom really liked Fall Out Boy, so she put up with it, and we had a really good time together. But here's another one, because we talked about this the other day. My mom took me to see Bright Eyes right before I turned 15. I was still 14 in Asheville. And we went together to see Bright Eyes, who she was not really into, but Feist was opening. And she was like, I really like Feist. And we went and Connor Oberst got fucking rip hammered.
Yeah.
And then everyone around us was smoking blunts. So we both got high via contact. And on the ride home, we giggled the whole time listening to Queen. But neither of us would ever admit that we were both stoned. What about you, Peter? Me and mom used to have fun at concerts.
Oh,
it's very
God.
Cool to have a mom that is down to go to concerts with
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And maybe accidentally get
stoned. So I did not have those parents when I wanted to go to Warped Tour when I was 15. Oh. My mom looked up what it was and then called all my other friends to tell them that they should also not allow their kids to go to Warped Tour.
Oh, so you were not only the wet blanket, you were like the wet sheet.
So the way that I got around that was I was working at Chick-fil-A at the time and I had a manager that was really good at pretending to be responsible. Mind you, he was a 22-year-old that was dating my friends in my high school.
Yeah.
That were in my... He had been to prom three times already.
It was his
pleasure. Yeah. Yeah. But so he was able to convince my mom that he was responsible.
Because he's
working
at a good Christian restaurant.
Mind you, I was getting Nine Inch Nails CDs from him where he would be like, you got to listen to the Downward Spiral. And I'd go, you're right, I do.
You're fucking right, I do.
And so he took me to Warped Tour the next year.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
I was able to go every year after
that.
Did
you tell him Under Oath was there spreading the message of God?
I saw Under Oath 2 days before they left the tour because they were getting bullied by Fat Mike of NoFX.
I heard stories about Fat Mike on the Pennywise tour bus, and it made me want to go to Warped Tour even more.
I saw Dillinger on their first year that they were allowed to be back on Warped Tour.
Yeah, because they had been just
banned.
Like throwing shit at people.
Well, they threw the drum kit out in the audience.
Yeah, okay. By throwing shit, I mean the drum kit. Oh.
But it made me question, what were y'all doing before? Because this is, you said you were toning it down because this is the first time you're back. The best concert that I ever went to, I had just turned 21. I took girl I was seeing at the time on a date. We went to Fellini's up on Howell Mill, North Side. Got a beer. She continued to drink the beer. We're on our way to the Tabernacle to see Girl Talk.
Yeah, let's go.
I sideswipe an undercover cop.
Oh.
Like,
and she has the beer? Because
you know how tiny those lanes are over by the Tabernacle. I hit an unmarked car. Lights go up. Get pulled over. We're in the Tabernacle parking lot already. She throws the beer in the glove compartment, which, mind you, I'm going to have to dig in there in a second.
Yeah, you've got to get some things out of
there. Yeah, and it's going to be soaked in beer. And so get out, talk to the cop, total white privilege moment where he was like, what are you doing? Where are you going? And I was like, right here at the Tabernacle. And he was like, okay, have a good night.
What?
Let's me go.
What?
No, nothing.
Oh, I forgot to bring something up that I'm going to have to bring up in a second. I'm sorry. You reminded me.
And so go to the show. Fucking fantastic. I forced my entire staff to listen to Feed the Animals the other day.
Yeah.
And it's incredible how much it still fucking hits.
Like, yeah, it fucking
so
hits.
So good. So
you put damage on the cop's car though?
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah.
He's being a shark.
He is being a shark. And so get home. So the house that I lived in at the time had an open door policy. So if you were friends with us, you could show up at the apartment anytime that you wanted.
Okay.
Didn't matter. We literally got in there and we're like, we're smoking cigarettes inside. We're not going to get the security deposit. Like, we're going to trash this place. And so I get back to the apartment after dropping the girl off and my drug dealer is there and he goes, do you want to hit rounds with me tonight? And I go, hell yeah, that sounds great. So we go deliver shit to people. Midway through, he passes me a little thing of mushrooms, a little thing of ecstasy.
Whoa.
And then goes, we're going to a rave in my neighborhood. And so Pullman Yards, Roger Street.
Yeah.
He lived there. We used to go to raves down at Pullman Yards before it was Pullman Yards.
Right.
And there were little houses along the street there that we would also go to raves at. And we had a back getaway plan to get away from the cops when they would get called. This is deep. Like Peter early 20s nonsense. And so we're at this rave. We meet these dealers that have DMT, and we've never done DMT before. And so at 7 in the morning, cops get called. We run out of the back with the DMT dealers, go back to my buddy's place, and we hit DMT out of his vape for the first time.
This is all in one night.
This is one night.
This is insane.
Yeah.
You got pulled over the other night and got a warning for my light being out in my car. And it reminded me when I was leaving for the culture and Pollo Del Mar was with me going back to the hotel before the brunch. We got pulled over.
Oh, no.
She made an illegal right turn into a Wawa, and the cop pulled her. And I'm getting out of the car, and I don't even realize the cop's pulling us. And he's like, get back in the car. And I'm covered in blood, and I'm wearing, like, I look crazy. She's like, she looks fine and goes into, like, responsible human mode. And the cop starts talking to us about, like, what we're doing. And we explain, like, we're here for the wrestling. I got another show in the morning, blah, 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 blah. And I'm on probation, and he never even takes my ID. He just takes her ID and, like, the rental car agreement and lets us go with a warning. But I was like, this would have been a very different gay brunch if you had done a full search of this vehicle and seen my probation and seen I don't have Fourth Amendment rights. I was like, oh, this brunch is going to be easy and perfect as the cops pull in and let us know. Yeah, so I just thought you should know that. Yeah, I punched a girl in the face at a Girl Talk concert, but she deserved it. Should I explain that real quick before we go?
Yes.
It was in college, and Girl Talk came with J. Cole. And it was there with my friend Casey, which, like, we've been friends since fourth grade. We, like, played in orchestra together. And this girl was behind us with her boyfriend. She kept ripping Casey's hair to try to get in front of us at the concert. Like, we're in the GA section. And I turned around and I was hammered. And I said, if you touch my friend again, I'm going to punch you in the fucking face. And she looks directly at me and then grabs Casey's hair and pulls it. And I just deck this chick. And her boyfriend looks at me. And this girl goes to the ground and he, like, picks her up and he walks her out of the building. And I was like, yeah, like, I mean, there was not even any words, but it was sort of like, you did kind of tell her. But it was like, I don't want to hit you, but if you rip this girl's hair again, who's my friend, I'm going to punch you in the face. So that's my Girl Talk story. I don't think you should punch women in the face, but I also don't think gender should be something that stops you from making sure your friends are safe.
Yeah, yeah.
We should end there, shouldn't we?
We do have more questions.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you want to get? Do you want to? Keep
them going.
All right, let's keep going.
We got time.
Okay. This is from our wonderful, wonderful friends at Movie John, Rosalie and Ben. Did you see anyone awesome at the collective shows? Wink, wink.
Yes!
Seriously, though, there are a couple of wrestlers new to us that we loved. Monomoth and Chitan?
Chitan, the wrestling mascot
yes.
from Japan.
Just to name a few off the top, was there anyone new to you?
Yes. I think Yoichi. I want to make sure I'm saying his name right. Yoichi, who wrestled with Progress and won their Atlas Championship against Ricky Knight Jr. I'd never seen him before, and we were talking before the show, and he said it was his first excursion to the U.S. It was his first time in America. He had wrestled in England before, and that's where Progress knew him from. And so Yoichi had a barn burner of a match with Ricky Knight Jr. from that Progress show, won the championship, was incredible. He was very cool to see. Also, I had never seen Ram Kai Chow before, who is the ghost wrestler who teamed with Danhausen against Maki Ito and Nick Gage. And she had like a haunted baby doll and had all this crazy shit. Stuff and like ate some of Danhausen's teeth. It was like very, very cool stuff. Chitan, I never seen wrestle before. I do want to say I missed a lot of the DDT guys. And it was probably for the best. Shout out Chris Brooks. Very handsome, 6'7". But I'm like really obsessed with his tag partner, Takeshi Masada. And it was probably for the best that I was not around Takeshi Masada, because I would have just been hitting on him the whole time. Ben and Rosalie from Movie John, you guys were wonderful. It was so good to see Movie John people in person. I think they posted the picture of us together
yes.
after the brunch. Yes. So that was lovely. Go check out at Movie John, Philly's finest. And they are going to be sponsoring some more of the movies that we have coming up yes. on the Patreon. Do you want to fill them in?
Yeah. So we are watching... So this current edition of Movie John is specifically about cinema nudity.
Cinema nudity.
And
is this a genre or just we can see them?
Okay, so we are going to be watching The Greasy Strangler.
Oh, okay. I've seen The Greasy Strangler.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love The Greasy
okay.
Strangler. I'm very excited to watch it again.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, this is not the kind of nudity I was expecting. We actually, I think we had a brief conversation about this, me and Ben and Rosalie, and I said, oh, I fucking love it. Have you seen The Greasy Strangler?
I haven't.
Okay, it is disgusting.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Look at this shark.
Okay, this next question is from Joshua. What is y'all's go-to karaoke song, Chop Suey, System of a Down?
Last Night by The Strokes.
Hell yeah.
Because even if my voice is really gone, I can still pull off doing Last Night by The Strokes.
All you got to do is, that's Chop Suey is yell, pretty much.
Yeah. And also, like, you get to do the low grumble voice. Yes. People, they will never understand. Your girlfriend, she'll never understand. Your grandkids, they'll never understand. Last Night.
All right, this is from Arlen. So I'm a Laps fan, didn't watch for about 15 years. Because of various podcasts is why I got back into wrestling, and happy I did. Question is, when did pro wrestling fandom start to change to this more nerdcore audience? Nothing wrong with that, by the way. People just want to argue now about anything that they don't like. Last indie show that I went to around 97-ish, it was a big ECW vibe. People were just chilling out in the parking lot, lots of drinking and rolling joints. It didn't matter what you preferred, and now it's just so serious to people. Which is why I really dig GCW. It has that ECW vibe of fans just chilling out and having fun, happy to be there.
Yes, I think I'm very happy with the shift that we've had recently. I did joke this weekend. I said a lot of people are confused because they think that I've gotten wrestling fans into me. But the fact is I've just replaced them all with people that I think are actually cool. There are more cool people coming, especially with GCW, with how much different kinds of wrestling that we provide, be it comedy or hardcore or deathmatch or blood sport, you know, real fight style stuff. Everybody is sort of embracing the artistry of all the different skills it takes for professional wrestling to be so all encompassing. And there really is that ECW parking lot vibe. I walked out after the clusterfuck or during the clusterfuck, and there was just a group of wrestlers and fans all together, all rolling joints together. I really wish I could participate, just talking about their favorite moments of the week. There was no, animosity or anti of anything. It was just sort of like people talking about what they liked, what they enjoyed. The nerd core of it all is wonderful. I think there's a more accepting vibe to the crowd, and I think the diversity of the performers has helped bring in so many different types of people. And what you find out is these people around you that are there for the same thing as you, you'll probably get along with them. And there's really no reason with something as silly as pro wrestling, even at its most serious, to be that angry about anything. And I think that GCW exemplifies that. And it was a wonderful spirit this weekend. It was a wonderful vibe this weekend. And I hope people got to see old friends, make new friends. I had a wonderful time and I got to see many of you. And I hope more nerds come out to wrestling. Wrestling's for nerds.
Let's leave it there.
Perfect.